You're listening to a special presentation featuring John Jacob Schmidt, brought to you exclusively by Radio Free Readout. Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Last segment, John Jacob Schmidt coming to close out our program here at the 2016 Northwest Preparedness Exposition, and I hope everybody has had a really great time. Music to my ears. Okay, and also to Janae Lamb right on the other side of that door over there. So anyway, we are really happy to put this on. Everybody seemed to have a really good time. We've had a really great turnout. And so we're going to go ahead and close it out with, one of the best presentations of the whole program. And at this time, I would like to bring on, for round two, Mr. John Jacob Schmidt. Thank you, guys. God bless you for being here. Thank you so much for sticking around and for your support, for your prayers. But I want to thank the organizers for putting this thing together. This is amazing. Please give them a hand. The Lower Valley Assembly is a group of patriots that is rarely ever found anywhere else I've been. I mean, it's just so rare. The quality of people and where their heart's at is just amazing. And so it's an honor to work with them. I just can't say enough about them. So anyway, thank you guys for doing that. Now, if you guys were not in the communications presentation and you're new, this is the first time hearing me speak, there's a rule. No video, no cameras. All right? I'm getting more. Actually, I don't know if the guy's in here, and I hope he's not. Earlier, everyone knows the rule, and it's put out. And this guy leans over his shoulder, and I see a picture, and he takes a picture of me over his shoulder. Now, there's a reason why I do this, but to be sneaky like that made me want to just pile drive him. And I said, you're gonna delete that. Oh, yeah, I think I accidentally took a picture of you, right? I think he accidentally did, too. So, anyway, look, it's an integrity thing, right? I don't like being around people without integrity. Okay, this presentation here, we are faced with some challenges. As most of you know, or you wouldn't be here, I'm preaching to the choir on a lot of stuff here. But I also want to encourage you as we go along, because even though you might feel the same way, you might disagree with me on some things. There's also some little nuances, the lies that we get from Christian. I'm a Christian, by the way. From other Christians, from within the church, sometimes from within pastors. God bless Pastor Sharam Hadian for speaking the truth boldly about where we are without sugarcoating things. I want to encourage you guys, because this almost sounds like a message of doom. All right? I don't want to take us there, but we'd be just foolish to deceive ourselves, to not grasp the magnitude of what we're facing, basically the end of this empire of the United States. All right, so we're going to get into this. I want to tell you a little bit more about me. I started Radio Free Readout about 5 years ago. Most of you know my background. I'm a Desert Storm veteran. I was 5th Special Forces Group. I was with 3rd Special Forces Group. I was a communications specialist, and I did a bunch of other stuff, got sucked into the family construction business for a few years, and then I got picked up by the Department of Defense as a contractor. to help get agents and military personnel, government personnel trained up so that if they were captured overseas by terrorists or detained by a foreign government, how to survive that, how to avoid being exploited, how to escape that, and then operating with networks to help recover people that are isolated in foreign countries. So I never thought some of this stuff's going to be coming full circle in my life. And I've always had this attraction to the Cold War era. I grew up in the Cold War. Red Dawn, huh? I mean, we understood what communism was, but we've lost that in this generation. And I'm going to talk about that. Some people think that communism is dead. They couldn't be further from the truth, but I always loved that. Radio for Europe, you know, broadcasting across the wire into the occupied zones is a message of hope and encouragement and bringing truth to those oppressed in occupied territory. And so because I love that, and I've always loved radio and talk radio, I started a podcast just to kind of just blow off some thoughts and express some things about how I felt. I never really thought Radio Free Redoubt would turn into what it has, but it's kind of that flavor of kind of resistance against tyranny, truth to the masses, you know, that type of thing. And it's just resonated. And it's just taken off ever since then. And of course, we started in the American Redoubt Radio Operator Network as a way for people to maintain contact with each other through communications. It's been just an amazing ride, and not what I thought I would do when I grew up, but here I am. So, I'm still not grown up. Ayn Rand was a big influence earlier in my years. I know she's an atheist and all that kind of stuff, but she had fully grasped the power and manipulation of a communist regime and the grip that has over a people. And she escaped that as a young lady, came to the United States, and she wrote her flagship book, Atlas Shrugged, amazing. We the Living is another one that really gives you a glimpse into what it looks like when totalitarian tyranny has a grip on the cultures. In one of her books, there's a character who urges people to check out of the system, right? Let the motor of the world stop, and these guys stop it. These guys withdraw from industry, and it brings the nations to their knees. So then these guys could rebuild. I mean, all the big conglomerates, the billionaires, the guys who made industry happen, they said, what happened if we just pulled out of this system that they're sucking off of, sucking the life out of us? We're funding this system that they're using to choke us with. What if we just all just closed our business and went to this little hidden secret valley somewhere, and it's called Goingalt. John Galt was this mysterious person who went around and talking to these guys into, hey, I got this idea. What if we bring this whole system to its knees, and this is how we could do it? So John Galt is the one who facilitated that. And so I was trying to think of an alias for running, you know, Radio Free Redoubt, John, something like, I don't know, something, Rumpelstiltskin, something, I don't know, something cool, something. I thought, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, his name is my name too. It just, I don't know. And so I dropped the Jingleheimer. I just couldn't go that far. But it's several things involved here. First of all, my name is your name too, because A, I don't want this to be about me. I don't want this, it's not about a popularity contest. This is about getting a message out that resonates with people that feel the same way but don't know how to articulate it, or they feel like they're the only one that feels this way, or they're being deceived or lied to and they think maybe they're the ones that's whacked out in the head. And I want to put that message out that it's not you. There's nothing wrong with you. This world is screwed up, and it's so screwed up, they've got you thinking they're normal and you're screwed up. So when I say my name is your name too, I'm like, we see what's going on. You're not the only one. I see it. You see it. It's not about me. It's about all of us. We all feel this way. And I say we go galt, but I say we redoubt. I'm in agreement with James Wesley Rawls when he says, we are past the point of no return. We've crossed the brink. Now it's time for God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots to start gathering together. We need to start preparing for this storm, preparing for what's coming. Now, I've articulated this. Many other people have articulated this. I know there's some people that are still on the bandwagon about taking back America. And I want to also, we put this message out as a message of hope. It's about a message of rebuilding and restoration. Okay, somebody's saying, look, we just hit an iceberg. We're taking on more water than we can bail out. We've got about 4 hours before this thing goes down. That's a message of doom and gloom. Really? I'm telling you, this thing is going to sink. The message of hope is that, hey, there's some lifeboats over here tethered, and we start getting them ready, we can start saving people, right? The American Redoubt is a lifeboat. This is the already conservative inland Pacific Northwest, and people are looking at the American Redoubt and strategically relocating right now. They're escaping what they refer to as occupied territory. I call it occupied territory because it is. It is full blown. If you don't think Seattle, Portland, California, places like that are occupied territory, you don't know what communism is. You don't know what living under oppression is. You simply don't. Maybe it's not your fault. You're just ignorant. I don't mean dumb ignorant. I mean you don't know any different. But I'm telling you that what's out there is coming here. They talk a lot about appreciating other people's cultures and respecting other people's cultures. Except American heritage, Christian culture. All right, it's not enough for them to live how they want there. We live over here and we all just have our different cultures, right? Uh-uh. They changed it there. They're going to change it here. They're going to change it everywhere. And they're well on their way to doing this. So there's some people who recently, this was supposed to be made into t-shirts. We couldn't get made in time. You guys know this flag, right? The join or die flag from the original colonies. This family just moved from California. And they're like, I love that you use the term occupied territory because nobody describes it better. It is exactly what it is. So their 15 or 16-year-old son made an American Redoubt version and sent it in. And so we're making t-shirts of these, which were supposed to be ready this weekend. They'll be ready for Marble. They're going to be available. We're also going to have flags made with this. And bumper stickers and everything else, because we want this to go viral. It resonates with people that are strategically moving here.
You know, so often in the past, there's been a sharp division between left and right, between capitalist and communist or socialist. And especially in the Americas, that's been a big debate, right? You're a capitalist Yankee dog, and you're some crazy communist that's gonna take away everybody's property. And I mean, those are interesting intellectual arguments, but I think for your generation you should be practical and just choose from what works. You don't have to worry about whether it neatly fits into socialist theory or capitalist theory. You should just decide what works. And I said this to President Castro in Cuba. I said, look, you've made great progress in educating young people. Every child in Cuba gets a basic education. That's a huge improvement from where it was. Medical care. The life expectancy of Cubans is equivalent to the United States, despite it being a very poor country, because they have access to health care. That's a huge achievement. They should be congratulated.
Cuba has introduced communism. They should be congratulated. They now have a state sanctioned system for indoctrinating their children that there is no God. They should be congratulated. They have the crappiest health care among the cruddiest health care in the world. Socialized medicine, we're only a select few, but of course the elite travel overseas to get their medical procedures done. They should be congratulated. This individual is a communist. He is promoting communism. He would have been arrested 50 years ago for what just came out of his mouth. He's anti-American, and it is treasonous. The president of the United States knowingly made communist propaganda. This is the kind of stuff that we would subject our clients to in training to avoid. If you are ever being detained or in a different government, these are the different types of exploitation you could be faced with. You will be made to make propaganda, knowingly and unknowingly. They will ask you to be making statements harmful to the United States and our principles. These are the things you should be able to identify, and these are the types of exploitation you should be avoiding, and this is proven past instances of successful propaganda that communist governments and other tyrannous regimes have used Americans to produce. And here we have the President of the United States making communist propaganda completely in opposition of what we train our service members and agents to conduct themselves when they're overseas. That's a traitor in my book. Now, Obama, bad person. Obama did not put himself in office. The electorate, the sick and degenerate electorate, said, this is the person we all choose to have there. Twice. This is not the problem. This is the symptom of a much bigger problem in our country. How far we've departed from where we've come. I want to share something with you. There's it's got a lot of pastors and pastoral staff that listen in the listening audience, and I hear from them a lot, and they put me on as a friend and Facebook me with this church education program that they have within their church, getting back to their heritage, and they started looking heritage, finish your words, and get back to, in the homeschooling curriculum, looking for homeschooling curriculum that can help bring our kids up at knowing what our heritage is. There's a book that they recommended, strongly recommended. I was like, I was curious. I found it's like $10 on eBay. You got to be kidding me. The Elements of Civil Government. Now, the one they recommended was from 1903, and there's another one from 1913. At the second when I was looking at eBay, they only had an 1891. I'll go with this. Okay, so 1891. I started looking at this. I couldn't put it down. This is amazing. This is the stuff that our children were taught. Citizens of the township are the people living in it, whether native or foreigners who have become citizens. It exists for their benefit to afford them a means of securing their rights and of redressing their wrongs. That is the reason why it exists. The government of the township. All citizens of the township are entitled to enjoy the rights of life, liberty, property, the pursuit of happiness. The township government exists for the purpose of securing these rights. Are you serious? I thought the purpose of the township was to make sure nobody takes rainwater without asking. I thought the purpose of the township government was to make sure that nobody has spots of oil in their driveway. All those things that are taking rights from people is an aberration. It goes against what even the textbooks say, which are reflective of the spirit and intent of the founding fathers who wrote the Constitution, what the purpose of government is. But see, this book covers government. It starts where? The family. This is from a speech that I gave to the Constitutional Republicans over in Spokane a little over a month ago. But I just took this part out because this is so important to say it again for those of you who didn't hear it. The family is the lowest level of government. It describes the rights and duties of the family government. It goes all the way up to the federal national government. It didn't say anything about an international governing body. It stopped at the sovereignty of the nation. How novel. Whenever one act, speech, or property interferes with the rights of others, he falls under the censure of the law and becomes subject to its penalty. They must use, check this out, they have equal claims to the fullest protection of the law, the citizen. They may use their own property as they choose and do whatever pleases them, so long as it does not interfere with the rights of others. Whenever one's act, speech, or property interferes with the rights of others, he falls under the censure of the law and becomes subject to its penalty. Does that sound like something you would ever hear in today's textbooks? No. I'll answer for you. No. Never heard of it. Now, here's the other interesting thing. Does the students and youth today understand that they have rights when they protest? Don't they talk about their rights? But here's something else that they didn't mention. Along with citizenship comes rights and duties. What? Duties. Something's required of me? Yes. They're not teaching that today either. As the citizens of the civil district have rights, they also have corresponding duties, as they may demand protection and preservation of the peace. Get this. This is brilliant. Because you have the right to those liberties, it's expected that the duty is the community will also work to protect those rights, as they may demand protection and preservation of the peace. So it is their duty to obey the law and assist the officers in its enforcement in order that the same protection may be extended to the whole people. Each should abstain from acts that injure others and render cheerful aid to all in securing their rights through the law. Did you get what I just said? You are required, it's expected that as a duty, you will cheerfully render aid to other citizens whose liberties are being taken. Except in 2014, which you show up to a ranch, it could end you in jail. When you cheerfully show up to protect somebody's duties or liberties from being robbed. That used to be taught as a duty, as a citizen, to come to others' aid. But see, we've lost that concept today about when somebody is being wronged, when somebody is being victimized. Today, well, let me just give you an example.
And take a look at this. Hard to believe. Some Emory University students, they say that they were so traumatized by the sight of these Trump drawings on campus that they complained and protested. Some students even calling it a violent act. The school's president now vowing to hunt down whomever wrote Trump 2016 on a sidewalk in chalk. Now, the student government is now releasing some funds to offer emergency counseling. Emergency counseling to all of these offended students. In the past, students have written Black Lives Matter on campus. They did that in chalk and they received no punishment.
So are we out of touch? If the district has good government, the voters deserve the credit. If it has bad government, the voters deserve the blame. True? This is from a textbook. Now, normally that would be true in theory. But do you guys in Prosser, Washington, feel like you have the government you deserve?
No.
Because you are outnumbered. Because they've been able to attack the masses, go after the youth, change their mindset as far as what Americanism is, what rights are, and that there are no duties. No, you have a duty to hunt down whoever put that offensive thing in chalk on the floor. We demand the government track them down, hunt them down, because it's a violent attack. But see, over in Eastern Washington, inside the American Redoubt, you're living under laws, rules, and oppression from regulations that are passed, not even laws, actually. They're bureaucratic policies that are enacted on the other side of the mountains. So we got a little problem on our hands. Ayn Rand said something else. This is where we're going in our country. Because you try to follow the law, you try to do the right thing, but she said, the only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking laws. She was a little ahead of her time. No, actually, she was just referring to historical cases from the communism she escaped from. But history repeats itself, doesn't it? And here we are coming back around full circle. This study here by Silverglate. He did a study, and it's a very boring book. I got it. I read it. I'm like, made a little over halfway through it. And then I just started just like skimming through it because I got the point. It's full of case law, cases where people have broken the law that no reasonable person could ever expect to realize that they have done. But it's called 3 felonies a day. On average, his conclusion from his thesis is that an average American commits 3 felonies a day. So they have prosecutorial discretion to decide what laws they want to enforce and what they don't. So there's tools to manipulate you and keep you in check. Oh, let me take you back to this. This guy in my other notes, I have a quote from him talking about how oppressive and how far this has gotten in our country, where no person can possibly exist without breaking the law, which is something that should be addressed and as ought to be for people who live in a democracy. Did you catch that? Do we live in a democracy?
No.
So you got a very educated lawyer doing this in-depth thesis on the tyranny of our government. And in his commentary, he says this ought not happen in a democracy. He was like so close and then missed it. Well, let's go back to the textbook. If you want to find out the difference, anybody know the difference between a democracy and a republic? Well, mob rule, democracy, right? Well, this is what our children were taught. No, wait. This is what our great-grandparents were taught. A pure democracy is a government conducted by the people in person. It is practicable only in a political community so small that all the people may assemble at the seat of government. That's it. That's the only time it works. A democracy would work for 4 or 5 guys all in a boat floating out in the Pacific Ocean, determining whose turn it's going to be to skin the fish, right? We vote, it's your turn, all right. That's the only place in the world a democracy can be used to rule people as governing. The New England town meeting is almost the only example of a pure democracy in the world at the present time. Certainly the only example in the United States. A republic or representative democracy is a government conducted by representatives elected by the people. Now remember, this is written in 1891. The United States, Mexico, France, Switzerland, and all South American nations are republics. And the republican principle of government is growing in popularity throughout the civilized world. Was true until communism snuck in South America, and almost every one of those countries were communism at one point. Now they're just a wreck. And Venezuela still can't learn. No form of government. Now this is where I want you to tune in. I know you were daydreaming. I let you have that on the last paragraph. This time, tune in, okay? No form of government is equally good for all peoples. A certain form may be good for one country and bad for another country. A republic, which is the best government for well-educated and virtuous people, is the worst for an ignorant and depraved people. A republic is the worst type of government you can have for an immoral, depraved people. So if we want to make this not a republic, let's make the people immoral and depraved. Here's the thing. We've got an electorate that elected Obama twice, is about ready to vote either Bernie or Hillary. We cannot. It's impossible for us to operate as a republic with the depraved electorate that we have. It's two things. It's like an unstoppable object colliding with an unmovable object. Something's going to break, right? So now we're all felons. Now you know the difference between or at least the explanation of democracy versus a republic. We were a republic. We are a republic on paper, the same paper that we ignore. And see, the problem is in the church today, speaking from a Christian hat on now, which I usually actually keep on all the time. I try. Except for when somebody tries to, like, on purpose take a picture of me over their shoulder. It's like my Christian fell. I had to reach down and pick it up real quick. We have something complete. We're out of touch. Romans chapter 13 says you must obey. How many times have we heard that? A lot, right? Now, Pastor Shoram Hadian can really address that really, really quickly. But see, the government is there to do justice against the wicked and uphold and protect the righteous. But now we have this government upholding and protecting the wicked and pursuing, oppressing the righteous. That's an inversion. You've heard me say that before. Now, you're supposed to, now, I heard a pastor say one time, if the government declares we have to give up our guns, we have to, people. As Christians, there it says it right there. We must obey the government. God put them in charge. And I'm thinking, why'd you stop there? That's not the whole thing. Because if somebody says for you to do something, like you must conduct a marriage for a homosexual marriage, that's an unlawful law. If somebody says you must give up your firearm, that's an unlawful law. It's in conflict with the higher law. It's just like a parent cannot tell their child, I want you to go into the store and steal a candy bar, one for you and one for me. I'm authorizing you. It's okay. Does the parent have that authorization to do that? No. Why? Because what he's ordering that child to do is in violation of the higher law. And the parent doesn't have the authority to cause someone else to violate that law based on the higher authority. Does that make sense? So let's get, and if you want something to really step back, oh, I really need to see that in writing. The 16th American jurisprudence clearly states that any law, a general rule, is that any unconstitutional statute, though having the form and name of law, is in reality no law at all, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose. Any unconstitutional law in legal contemplation is as inoperative as if it had ever been passed. An unlawful law is no law. In fact, there should be consequences for those who enact or try to enforce those. Sometimes you just got to have two guys just got to duke it out. That's where we are headed. If you look at our country and where we're headed, look at the turmoil. Look at the riots that are expected that happened when Trump, anywhere he goes. There's riots. The Southwest United States will be a Latino country, probably in one or two decades, the way that things are happening. If you objectively look at our country and the division, the polarizing issues, the two completely incompatible paradigms that are in conflict with each other, which cannot coexist together in the same space, that are coming together to clash. You can see the models over and over and over. We are headed toward a civil war in this country. It is inevitable. It's unavoidable. It's not completely unavoidable. There's one way you can avoid a civil war, and that is to completely submit to whatever they want us to do. But when they pass laws that are unconstitutional, they're acting unlawfully. For example, there are patriots in prison right now for holding signs and having a sidearm on saying, BLM, please stop taking our land, who are in prison because that was threatening. But meanwhile, the injustice is we have agents, government agents, there's the proof, pointing sniper rifles and combat rifles at citizens that were holding signs. In some cases, the Patriots were armed. But you know what? They were exercising their First Amendment right to speak out and articulate their grievances and to peaceably assemble. And they were practicing their Second Amendment right to bear arms. There's nothing illegal about you protesting tyrannous government while having an AR-15 slung on your shoulder. Did you know that? That is completely lawful for you to do. These guys had citizens in their crosshairs. That is what's called aggravated assault. You point a rifle at someone else who, not in a self-defense situation, that is aggravated assault. When somebody is holding a sign, standing on the side of the highway, and you got a bead on them and threatening them, let me read something to you. Title 18, U.S. Code, Section 242. Whoever under the color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, blah, 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 to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States shall be fined or imprisoned, or if such acts include the use of attempt or attempted use or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, explosive, or fire, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both. Whoever under the color of authority commits aggravated assault is committing a felony. We have legislators now that are saying the people have a right to defend themselves. If you commit aggravated assault against a citizen, they're supposed to lay down and take it. It's the very reason for the Second Amendment existing in the first place. It was only after the federal agents committed aggravated assault that these cheerfully rose to the aid of other citizens who were having their rights violated and their liberties taken from them. They were under threat of their lives using force and coercive measures for standing there holding a sign. Now these guys are in prison right now. They're not the only ones. Not everybody picked up a firearm. This is one example. Micah McGuire and the McGuire family, they got a fundraiser going on right now because he was holding a sign about the BLM. That is it. By all accounts, he never raised a firearm at anybody. He never had a firearm in his hand. He was holding a sign. He is now in prison. Well, you might be innocent. Well, you'll be able to prove it in court after hundreds of thousands of dollars in lawyer's fees and time away from your family and loss of income and being able to support them. So this is just very vindictive actions by a tyrannous government when they do stuff like this. Look, somebody wants to stand up there with an AR-15 and say, any BLM agent comes through here is coming through me. All right, okay, I can take, all right, that's a threat, all right? Put them on the list, snatch them up, let them fight it out in court. But that's not what they're doing. They're rolling anybody and everybody up. They're rolling up their friends. They're rolling up and they're snatching everything. They're on an intelligence gathering operation right now. Because when they roll up a patriot, citizen, they are taking the laptop, the wife's laptop, the thumb drives, the cell phones, everybody, every DVD, every CD collection in their collection, the Xbox. They're taking everything. And they're mining it all. And more people get rolled up. And more people get rolled up. It's just this expansion, this monster that keeps expanding. Now the government can hack your device. They're giving themselves authorization. And now they're saying in December, anybody using Tor or Tails, obviously must be doing something illegal. So we can now get warrants if somebody's using a VPN to try to go after their stuff. Without probable cause that you're involved in a crime. The fact that you're using that means you must be committing crime. You must be hiding something. Well, of course you're hiding something. Every IT tech out there, every computer forensics guy out there is saying, if you're not using a VPN right now, a virtual private network for encryption connection to the internet, you're insane. You are out of your mind if you're not using a VPN right now, just because of the identity theft, computer hackers, banking, hacking, the corporate espionage, tracking everybody's purchasing habits, everything else, plus government snooping, which Snowden's revealed and so many others come across and affirmed. The government, what the government's doing is illegal too. It's unlawful for them to do that. I know I mentioned in the communications presentation, but the government has authorized themselves to do that. But see, the identity theft authorized himself to do it too. Just because you authorize yourself doesn't make it lawful. Only you can authorize somebody to go into your stuff without a warrant. So this is the game that the federal government's playing right now. It's known that they're doing it. But they get some high school kid that hacks into an arrest database. They want to send him to prison for 90 years. Like 5 years for every file that he had access to. We can break the law and get into your stuff, but don't get into ours. We can point a rifle at you and commit aggravated assault, but you better not even have a gun on you while you're holding your sign. And they, of course, always justify it. Climate change is the number one risk to our country's national security. You know that, right? I mean, that's what Obama said. But close behind that is right-wing extremists. Both of these threats authorize them for funding and authority and power and paves the way for international agreements that are going to strip everything Americanism away from us. The purge of the resistance. Many of you guys have listened to Radio Free Readout for any length of time. You've heard me talk about this before. There's a multiple step process. You will see anytime a group of people are oppressed, you will see these four stages take place. Five. Marginalization, then demonization, then criminalization, then incarceration, then extermination. We've seen it over and over. We've seen it with the Turks and the Christians. We've seen it with the Nazis. We've seen it with how many? I'm just countless. This is how it goes down. And right now in our country, we're marginalizing Christians, conservatives, patriots, or marginalizing, but we're past that now. We do all the marginalizing in our sitcoms and things like that, and Americans are goofy, or Christians are goofy, silly, stupid ones. The militia guys are a bunch of pus gut, gun wannabe, you know, Rambos, you know, just all the stereotyping, that's marginalizing. And then demonization, that's where they move into where you're not just a goofy weirdo who's off, you know, got weird thoughts. Now you're evil. You're on an evil, you know, something must be done about you. Like the fact that you would not let a homosexual couple come and stay in your bed and breakfast for their honeymoon, you are evil. And something must be done about that. So let's move into the criminalization phase. So now we're going to take your business from you. We're going to fine you for every case. We're going to actually take the money that we extracted from you by seizing your account and give it to that homosexual couple as a reward to help them with the healing of the emotional distraught that you've caused, you know, emotional. So then, now we're not just going to find you civilly. Now this needs to become a crime. So the next phase is going to be incarceration. And then eventually it will be extermination. This is just, I know this can't happen in America, but this is what's happened in all kinds of other countries. So I'm glad we live in America, so we'll never have to deal with this. There's some sheriffs that are saying, we're not going to let this happen here. In fact, sheriffs are waking up. The sheriffs are the cornerstone to the strategy, part of the strategy for standing up against this tyranny. Constitutionally, they have the authority. The left knows this. They hate it. It drives them absolutely crazy. And there's a sheriff right here in Utah that says, I will deputize every man, woman, and child in my county, if I have to keep the BLM from operating in my county. They are not going to take land from anybody in this. That is an unconstitutional agency, and they are not going to operate in my county. How would you like to have a sheriff like that? Well, he's not the only one, and that's getting some people's attention. Now we're seeing the marginalization and demonization of all the advocates saying the sheriff has the right to say, you're not operating my county unconstitutionally, it's not going to happen. Constitutional sheriffs, the cops who think the government is our greatest threat. That's the headline. That's a real headline. I didn't make this up. Constitutional sheriffs are the cops who think the government is our greatest threat. You think those constitutional sheriffs are onto something? Absolutely they are, and they're under attack. And now you've got people like Wolf Blitzer and other shills from the left saying it's illegal for a sheriff to say he will not because of the Supremacy Clause, which my friend Chris Ann Hall's blown that one apart several times. He interviewed her. We've talked about it. We've talked about it in private. We talked about her book, Sovereign Duty. If you guys don't have this, this is one of the things on your library you should be looking to. I'll put it up here for you guys to look at. You need to start blowing their arguments out. So while we've got patriots in prison for camping out at the wildlife refuge, pointing no guns at anyone, going around teaching people about the Constitution. Now, I don't think they should have done it. I think it was just a bonehead move. That's not what I would have chose to do. All right. But just basically, they were trespassing. That's the extent of the law. And, of course, even that's debatable. But why we got them in prison facing 96 years for all the charges they've trumped up against those guys. There's a war criminal at the same week Ammon Bundy and those guys were arrested. This came out. Radovan Karadzic, war crimes, murder, rape, genocide. 40 years in prison for murder, rape, and genocide for war crimes during the Bosnia War. 40 years. They want to put a cowboy away for 96 years for camping out at a refuge for a month. Who killed no one, who went around and told people about the Constitution and said, I ain't leaving. See, our government, while the sheriff's saying, there's a reason why the constitutional sheriffs are thinking the government's the biggest threat. Why? Because that same government has these guys labeled as terrorists. Our government has that guy labeled as a terrorist. Meanwhile, our government is saying, this guy is not a terrorist. Not only did this Dearborn Muslim plot to shoot up a Detroit church, but he kept a sword in his car and said that it was his dream to behead someone. Khalil Abu Rayyan said that he wanted to burn people alive, tie them up, cut their tongues. As for the church shooting, Abu Rayyan said, honestly, I regret not doing it. If I can't go do a jihad in the Middle East, I would do a jihad over here. Not a terrorist. They are not pursuing charges. For terrorist charges against him. This family right here went to prison twice for terrorist arson. Meanwhile, these Black Lives Matter burning things to the ground in the various different streets across America are not terrorist arsons, even though they, by the definition, are employing terrorist tactics by using force, fear, death, killing, threats, to enforce a political agenda, make a political statement, or advance their cause using all of those methods. That's terrorism. But no, our government says they're not. This right here is a violent attack. Writing Trump on the sidewalk in chalk is a violent attack. Meanwhile, another Black Lives Matter demonstration is not a violent attack. This is basically an exercise of their free speech that probably they went too far. But we understand why they did it. So, here's the solution. We need to vote in Ted Cruz. I'm kidding. You know there's no fruit out there to throw at me, right? Okay. Now, I got several emails from people and texts. As soon as he said, I'm out of the race, they're like, we're screwed. We're hosed. It's over. Hillary's going to be president. Bernie's going to be president. There's no hope for us anymore. So I'm just scratching my head going, wow. Do you not know where we are as a nation? Do you not know how far we've come? Let me paint a really good picture for you about where America is right now. This was proudly proclaimed in defiance of the God who is the source of our blessings in his face. The rainbow is a covenant. It's a sign of a covenant that God made with man that I will never destroy you by flood again. I set this rainbow as a sign in the sky as a sign of my covenant to you. Wow. And then we use that as the symbol for advancing homosexual causes in our country. Plastering the colors on the center of our government, of our republic. Now, there's just some things you could do if you want to get punched in the face. There's just certain things you could do to pretty much guarantee that's going to happen. And this is a pretty surefire way of getting punched in the face. Now, let me tell you something else. Now, this is me talking. I personally believe, I stand by this. I'm not a prophet, don't want to be a prophet. But something inside of me is saying, the Lord's bringing all this down. He is allowing this to happen. He is Judge Scalia, boom, middle of the night. Worst possible timing to lose one of our, you know, conservative justices. Gone. Replaced by who? A communist. By Obama. There's been several cases, I can't think of them right now, upsets that have happened where godly or conservative people are being removed and they're being replaced. God, this is not God allowing this to happen. He's not permitting it to happen. He is doing it. He is removing conservative, godly people. And he is placing wicked people in places of power. This is supernatural what's happening right now. And check this out. In the latest poll, if the presidential election were to happen right now between Trump and Sanders, Sanders wins by double digits. Of all the presidential races they just throw out there right now, this is a combination of all of these different polling groups, including Fox News, all of them pulling together, and that's the result. Bernie winning against Trump. This is what the American people want. This is what they're asking for. I want you guys to go and I want you to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. It talks about, for my people, the blessings if you choose to follow me, and here's the curses if you rebel against me. And that is what we're setting America up for. And somebody says, should America start preparing for the fall, or should Christians start preparing for the fall of America? Should the church start preparing for the fall of America? And I submit that the church is the reason why the fall of America. We're not preparing. The church is not going to prepare crap for America. The remnant is the only thing that's going to be left. The church is falling. The church is part of it. The church allowed it. The church has empowered it. Or the church has neutered the Christians in this country. We look for solutions and want to know what to do. I got a book, and this is awesome stuff. This is called Fear the People by David Zuniga. I don't know how to pronounce it. A listener sent this in. I want to read to you her letter, but I mean, we're basically out of time. You guys want me? Can I go five over? Can I? Okay. John Jacob, I wish to offer many thanks for your podcast at Radio Free Readout. I download and listen to them on Mondays here in Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. Listening to your programs brought my notice to Chris Ann Hall and Publius Holda, and from these ladies, I've learned so much about the Constitution. Unhappily, this continual learning, pointing out our country's diversion from our intended constitutional republic, has brought me to as close to flat despair as I have come in my six decades of life. I see the dread, possibly a civil war or an engineered economic collapse, with the non-committed danger of invasion by a foreign power. I fear desperately for my sheeple 20-something son. At times, I am nudged in the direction I am to go, and as I get older, I try to be more sensitive and obedient to these promptings. So at this very low point in February 2016, I was led to the book, which I am proud to gift to you. I can only hope it means as much to you to have a lawful, nonviolent plan of action to restoration as it does to me. That is, and she bought this book and sent it to me. And I'm going to read this. I'm going to cherish this, but also right along with the Liberty Amendments. If you guys have never seen Monumental by Kirk Cameron, these are solutions, but not for restoring America. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if you haven't heard this before, America is over. There is no taking back America. We have passed the point of no return. And some of you don't like that. You're going to reject that. It's going to make you stomping mad. But some of you get it. Otherwise, the way God has handled his people before, why could we expect anything different? There is only one way that we can restore it, and that's through repentance. How's that working out? So, this is it, guys. We need to plan to be part of the remnant. We need to be self-reliant and prepared so that we can weather through what's coming. I believe God's going to drop the hammer on this country. Being a Christian doesn't mean being a wimp. It doesn't mean being a jerk either. But it doesn't mean laying down and sucking our thumbs and like, well, God's in control, which means nothing's required of us. You'll be held accountable for that. If you check out and play no role in any of this because God's in control, you're getting a spanking. Something's required of you, and you need to step up to that. You need to support the leadership. You need to get involved with the assemblies. You need to educate yourself and your children. You need to learn your heritage so that you can return to it. And there's resources abundant for you. And there's so much more, and I know we're out of time, but I want to let you know, if you go to radiofreereadout.com, Liberty First, Wall Builders, those resources that we have available to you through our websites, learn your heritage so you can be part of the remnant. So after the dust settles, we can start restoring something that resembles America and restore Americanism in the next chapter that God's got planned for us. Hua? All right, guys, God bless you so much. Thank you. Have a great rest of the week.